Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. You can find us on Anchor, obviously Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Be sure to like or give a review or whatever it is that you need to do. Look at the Snap podcast. You can go back and listen to our previous shows throughout the course of this week. You know, we had Clifton Ryan on Monday. We had Thomas Wright on yesterday. We got J.U. Culker coming up tomorrow, Marvin Wright on Friday. But today I am honored to have former Michigan State offensive lineman, former Green Bay Packer, started 14 games his rookie year with Green Bay, played with Miami, played with Washington for a little while. Will Whitaker with us today. Will, how you doing today? Hey, Will.
Tyler, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to talk a little bit of rivalry with you. I guess the first thing, this is the first question I ask everybody this week, just because this is such a special game and everything else. What's that one memory that really sticks out for you during this game, during your playing career?
I mean, I want to say the 2001 game. I mean, it was just such an amazing game, and they've got.
We seem to have lost Will again. Yeah, I got you now. Sorry, okay, you said 2001 game.
The 2001 game is definitely the biggest memory I have. It definitely was, with everything going down to the last minute or the last second, it was just obviously the best feeling ever. But then again, I can also look at the 2004 game and how that could really make you mad, especially when we were up by 17 with 6 minutes to go and to lose that game. So, I mean, this rivalry, one of the things about it is there are certain games you do know you remember and there are certain games you forget, but you definitely don't forget any of the games that you played in against Michigan.
Yeah, and, that 2004 game, I wasn't going to bring it up, but since you did, I kind of got to ask you. That's known as the Braylon Edwards game. Braylon was running his mouth a little bit about Michigan State's defense. Did you hear those comments at all?
Man, I don't listen to any of these people anymore. Braylon. Braylon. I've known Braylon for a while. One of my really good friends is Roy Manning. Me and him played together. We still talk to this day. Roy was a great person. But, a lot of people run their mouth. Everything speaks for itself. And, you think you know something, but at the end of the day, it made you look good for one game. And then overall, your overall career wasn't what it should have been. So I don't know why he wants to run his mouth now. Is Michigan really that much better than Michigan State? I mean, you think that just because you guys are undefeated, but at the end of the day, when you look at the same opponents that we've all played, it's about even. Nebraska about beat them. They about beat us. They played Rutgers should have beat them, and we blew Rutgers out. So, and to me, feeling wise, I don't think that they played a better schedule. Now, record wise, it's going to look that way, but I don't think they've played a better schedule than we have. But it's also you look at Miami and look how bad they turned out. And we all know that Washington is up and down, and they've been down recently. So I don't think that they have played a better schedule than us. But they're going to say, well, Western Michigan has won all these games ever since, and, all that other blah, blah stuff. But at the end of the day, when we look at it, we've all basically faced the same opponents so far in the Big Ten. And, like I said, they should have lost to Rutgers and Nebraska. Maybe we should have lost to Nebraska. So
yeah, and I mean, both of these teams, it's like looking in a mirror. Ultimately, they both have that one glaring weakness. You just sit there and you're like, okay, you know what? Maybe that's something that could be exploited. Obviously, you know, the pass defense isn't the greatest for MSU, but the offensive line may end up being the weakest unit on this team. You played on that line. What's going on with that? Because there is a lot of experience there.
You know, it's experience, but I think it's hard to say. You know, it is hard to say. I don't know. I guess it's now you – one thing I do – I love Coach D'Antonio, but I can see some glaring weaknesses and stuff that he – or some of the weaknesses of what he recruited towards the end, you know, just – what was resulting in where we were. And I understand kind of where he was going, dealing with the Blackwell situation. And, you know, when he, to me, I felt like he sold his soul to get recruit four or five-star recruits because, I told Ulish Booker, got another guy I played with, when I went down there and watched the CFPB game, I thought that was the height of the program, and I thought we were going downhill from there, and it was truly that way. And do I think it's, you know, I love Coach D, but at some point you got to look at some of the guys that you get, and you got to go, you know, like he was content recruiting Ohio. Well, guess what? That Ohio's great and all, but you still got to go get speed. I mean, look at the real speed in the team. You look at like the Ohio States. Ohio State is going down to Florida. They're going to Texas. They're going to places that get their speed, and we weren't doing that. We were staying within a 5-hour radius, and sometimes you have to go do that. So, and then I felt like with the coaching, you know, at that time during the CFPB, I sat there and I watched them coach a great game versus Ohio State that year with a second and third string quarterback. And then you come into the CFPB game and it's like your offensive coordinator is scared to play or scared to recall and call anything good. So, you know, I think with the line is it's going to need, you know, you got to probably go back and find some of those players that are, you know, go find some kids that maybe in the transfer portal, find some dogs. Like, that's the biggest thing, is find somebody who wants to be a dog and play hard, you know, get after somebody who wants to, you know, physically beat up another opponent across from you.
You talk about those dogs, you talk about those transfers coming in, and Jarrett Horse has a couple 15-yard penalties to his name, and I think he's got the toughest matchup, as it looks like he's going to be lining up against Aiden Hutchinson for most of the game. Talk about that matchup a little bit.
Well, to me, I think that matchup is going to be a hard one. And here's the reason why. I don't think with him one-on-one and how we run our pass or how we run a lot of our passes, I think it's going to be a bad matchup for him. And that's why we need to either one, chip off of him, or you're going to have to two, lead the tight end and have a double team on him. So then that takes away one more threat. That takes out one more threat. So it's just, you know, if it was a 3-4 defense, maybe you could keep another, like you could put a two lineman against them. But I feel like.
I think we got a bad connect.
There you go. Sorry. But like I was saying, is when we play action a lot, you're going to have a one-on-one matchup with him for a guy that I think that, you know, he's going to have to bear down, or it could be a long day for us at that position.
Yeah. How do you pass then? Because you look at Thorne the last game, and that was a huge issue. I felt like if, you know, Michigan State could open up the middle a little bit more, if they did, you know, run these play actions, because all the attention is going to be on Kenneth Walker. How do you move the ball vertically down the field then?
I mean, you could. There's all kinds of ways. You know, we can move it down the field. I mean, we can either, you know, like I said, there could be a quick chip shot with the tight end on him, or it could be, you know, like I said, you got a running back that can chip and go out to the flat as well too. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, you know, their linebackers and stuff like that, they're not going to be able to protect downfield. But, you know, Kenneth Walker, we could also get him to a chip and then go in the flat and have wide open spot, or wide open throws right there as well. We didn't, like, you know, that's the big, we have those opportunities. I just feel like one-on-one, Hutchinson versus our right tackle, I just don't think that's going to be a good matchup. And it's going to lead to, even with their, you know, and then what they're going to end up doing is start, you know, once we do start doing chip and they're going to blitz, and that's going to open up Walker even more, I feel like. But just one-on-one, I don't think it's a good matchup for us.
Yeah, it, when you look at Michigan, I mean, obviously, you know, you've been part of some physical football teams throughout your career. How do you take advantage of a line like U of M's offensive line that likes to run the ball, and they're gonna try to run it 50 times on Saturday, if we're being honest? How do you expose something like that? I know Thomas Ray said something about, you know, rolling Henderson up into the box and, you know, leveling the playing field like that. How do you slow down Michigan's – how do you slow down a strong rushing attack like Michigan?
You're going to have to roll, like you said, put eight in the box. They're going to go, what, double tights? You got to put eight in the box, and you just got to play. I feel like – you know, one of the things I've been noticing is we've got these kids at cornerback that have all transferred in, but we play soft coverage on at the corners. Guess what? What I've seen so far of Michigan, and they're not going to beat you with the long ball.
Right.
But you know what I did see watching them versus Northwestern? They threw quick to the tight end, quick to the running back all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So – We can't just sit back like we've been doing. Like, that was my biggest irk that I've seen. I was like, okay, you got these two guys from the SEC that have been practicing versus nothing but speed, but why are we playing 10, 12 yards back off of them every single time they go, like, we go back to pass? So they got to be able to trust those guys. And as you can see, like I said before, is I haven't seen Michigan beat people downfield. They're going to beat us within the 4 or 5. They're going to try to get 4 or 5 yards and go about their day right there. So we've got to be able to counter that in that front, in those front areas.
Yeah. I know. Look, I've been kind of vocal on social media, running my mouth about this. And I mean, you've always had something to say too. You know, commenting on my posts, this is why I kind of wanted to reach out to you, is because, you know, you talk to a lot of these, you know, you talk to a lot of former players and you get the rah-rah type stuff and everything else, but you've been vocal in some of the game planning and play calling of Jay Johnson. Talk about that a little bit, like what you're seeing from him, what you want to see Michigan State try to do different.
Well, I want them to come out and smash, come out hard, come out and play hard. I feel like in most of the games, we come out and we're come out slow. And I feel like his play calling is like, dude, what is this? I mean, come on. Last week versus IU, first half, we have 57 total yards. That's ridiculous. You know, and then he comes back the very first series of the third quarter. It was like, oh, okay, there we go. And then he reverts back. So, you know, I've noticed that that's what happens is it's like, look, you got to drop your balls and just go out there and say, look, I'm going to call the best plays to score. And I just don't feel like we're getting
right now either.
Just like on defense, like I was saying is why are we playing so off of these wide receivers? It's ridiculous. Like, you know, it gets frustrating at times. Let's face it. Like, I mean, IU, I love IU's head coach. He's a great friend of mine. He's actually my defensive coordinator in high school. But IU is not that good. They are not that good this year. And yet, you know, they held us to 57 yards in the first half. We didn't look really that good the whole game. Thank God for the defense linebackers for, you know, coming through, and our defense in general for coming through. But overall, I mean,
And then you watch some games like
I know it was Western Kentucky. Like a great game versus them. And I know Western Kentucky team I had watched a week before, and they were, to me, they were really, really good. Like, I watched them play IU the week before they played me. Holy cow, they actually scare me. So, but you call a great game versus them, you know. I felt like the second half of the Miami game was a great game. I don't think the first half was, like, I thought it was kind of, see what it is. But even, like, I mean, even when I, because I did, I mean, watching, you know, what is Miami's one receiver had 160 or 140 yards against us.
Yeah, it was something stupid like that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be the case. Trust these. Like, I feel like, and I just, they're teaching them. I mean, I'm saying this as a two. We're still, but, you know, we also have an opportunity to be 5-2 right now, you know.
Yeah.
So far. So.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is for, you know, you and me who remain semi-critical of this team, like, you talk about the opportunities to be 5-2, but this team also has an opportunity to do some really big things, really special things, and it's just like one or two things that need to be cleaned up.
Yep. And go ahead.
No, after you, man. This is your show.
It's 100% correct. Like I said, we can sit here and be critical on 7-0 team, but guess what? We're also sitting here as a 7-0 team, seeing three teams that are ahead of us in the polls still, and we're undefeated in the Big Ten. So, you what the same stuff that we're critical about is what everybody else is critical about us as well. You know, I watch these publications all day. They haven't given us any credit until this. So it's hey.
The coach talking what he's doing for the pro. But we gotta, I feel like coach,
this could be the same thing
as Coach Deacon.
You know, you got a great team, a good coach, but then you have key pieces that need to go, or you will need to get rid of in the future if you want to make it to the. Everybody wants to win a championship, but at some point, you got to start firing coaches, and that's where I feel like Coach Deacon.
Yeah, it's the same position too, more or less, offensive coordinator position. I've got to hit you with a prediction. I need to know what you think is going to happen on Saturday.
If they come out and play, these Dogs will win. I feel like if we can get on them early, I don't see how we don't win this game. We have. Even with the offensive line being, you know, it could be better. From what I see of us, we have any option we have Jalen.
You got Reed on the other side.
You've got Kenneth Walker. We've got tight ends. We've got what we need to come out hard and play against them. And we have Peyton Thorne, who I think is a way better quarterback than the quarterback from Michigan. But it's all up to the OC on what he calls when from play one game, and that's all up to him. So calls, you know, if he comes in and calls a BS game, that's what's going to happen. But I feel like the defensive side, I think we'll be fine. Like I said before, I watched one game of Michigan, and I've heard from the beginning of everything that their offense, or I've seen, I think, 1.5 games. And both games that I saw, their offense is not clicking. Now, their running back is really good, too.
But, both of them.
Yeah, but
it's definitely sorry
about that.
This is an interesting week. It feels like a month that we've been waiting for this with that bye week. Does the bye week last one, and I'll let you go. Does the bye week hurt or help? Because I've heard it go both ways, because Michigan State is undefeated. At the same time, you know, we've talked about, so you kind of want to keep that train rolling. At the same time, there's these flaws that need to be fixed, and you had an extra week to do it before your biggest game of the year.
So I think it helps. You know, I thought, you know, look at IU game. IU game was a trap game from the beginning, and guess what? They came out and they played like they 2 weeks to prepare. You know, the one thing about a bye week is the first week you get your guys that are all nicked up and banged up, treated, and hopefully get them back to close to 100%. And then the second week, you know, you go hit it hard and go for it. But that gives you more time to prepare. You know, one of the biggest things that they always say is never want to play Nick Saban a week or with at least 2 weeks' time. Because guess what? You're probably going to get your butt kicked. And it's 100% true, because it gives people more time to scout. Like for Michigan, the good thing about us, we actually had 2 weeks to scout them. Well, they only have 1 week. And if they overlook Northwestern and look at ours, you know, that's. But at least we, you know, right now we're with everything you're saying, I think it helps us. And I think we get a lot of these guys who were nicked up and banged up back to ready to go. They got to go out and perform on Saturday, 12 noon.
Yeah, and
line up, and you go out there and kick some butt.
Yeah, and one of those guys who, look, there's nothing official, and I think if there's any person in the world who's more quiet about injuries than Mark D'Antonio, it is Mel Tucker. And one of those guys, there's some rumblings, there's some rumors that Drew Beasley may be back, and I think that would just be absolutely huge to get that IQ back on the opposite side of Panashuk. But look, we're not going to know until the defense trots out on the field for the first time, if we're being completely honest. Petrowski and Fletcher and Jordan are good replacements, but let's be real, they're not Drew Beasley right now.
Yep, man. You know, I think if this is all lining up now, line up. Go out there and be a man. This ain't a little kid. This is where you grow up and become a man, where you put somebody in the dirt. You beat the crap out of somebody across from you. I mean, if they ain't got that mentality by now, shouldn't be playing football. But, this is a rivalry. You should hate these dudes. Absolutely hate them. Now, don't get it twisted. Like I said, I've made friends with Michigan players after college and everything, but beforehand, I would never be friends with them. And I would never be friends with them. But this is the time to do it right now. Like, you have an opportunity to make a legacy right now, being 7-0, be 8-0. I mean, and this is a tough remaining schedule. Like, we probably have one of the toughest schedules remaining in all of college football. So
yeah, I think it's top 5 or 7.
Yeah, so this is game one of that. If you win this one, I mean, I think you can win, pull out the next few, and then go into Ohio State. And then you're going to have to redo this all over again, because guess what? Ohio State is rolling right now, like absolutely rolling. But
yeah,
at some point,
this game's for second in the Big Ten. Is what it looks like right now, but – you know what? Second's a lot better than.
You never know.
Yeah, but could, yeah.
They had what, like 22 yards or something stupid like that?
Yep.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
And
you know what? And keep in mind that in that 2015 game, they had everybody, they had a great team. I mean, you think about that 2015 team, you probably had. You had Zeke. You had – I can't remember all who's all on that team. But
was
they
it
had a lot
Barrett?
Of dogs. Yep. JT, I think they had –
they had Terry a Bosa.
McLaurin was on the – like, they had a lot of dogs on that team. And guess what? They lost to a second- and third-string quarterback. So, that at the end of the day, is that you – until you line up, you never know what's going to happen. So, I
what
think –
was it? First year of the BCS, 1998 in Columbus. that interception in the end zone to seal it. So, I mean, yeah, who knows what happens when the Spartans go to Columbus, but this weekend they are in East Lansing. Everybody's in East Lansing. ESPN, Fox is going to be there. CBS has something there. Barstool Sports is going to have something there. I know somebody who works at Farm Journal Media, and they're doing shows up there this weekend. So,
yeah, it's all
that,
and one of the biggest games.
Yeah, and one of the things about the show is we try to get the Michigan perspective too, but my boy's been ghosting me for the last week and a half, and so I don't know what's going on with him. So, you know what, I'm going to be up there, so maybe we'll end up doing the show on my way up, and, you know, that's just something else to talk about in regards to the amount of people out there. But, yeah, you know, looking forward to it. Will, hey, I appreciate the insight. J.U. Culkrick on tomorrow for everybody listening. Marvin Wright's going to close out the week before Saturday. And like I said, me and Jeremy, we might try to get on and do something together since he's hopefully doing you know, hopefully he's representing Michigan in regards to the last week and a half, and they end up no-showing as well. But that does it for us here on the Trouble with the Snap podcast. For Will Whitaker, I'm Tyler Hayward.